Thank you, Wayne, for reading that on such short notice. Back at our Thanksgiving meeting, I was asked to speak on ways that Job could be thankful through his hard times. And for that few minutes that I spoke, I chose to speak on hope. And I've chosen to go back to that topic this evening and expand on that for that little short sermon. I think was maybe 4 or 5 minutes long. And so I'm going to go back to the subject of hope, particularly the hope of salvation that we have in our Christian walk. And it's something that I decided to go back to because I hadn't really heard it, a lesson devoted to it, and I don't remember how long. And it's such an important thing in our Christian walk. Because without hope in our Christian lives, we'll either really never develop as Christians, or we'll completely break down as Christians. Hope is very key and center for us. And before I get into the topic, and before I start talking about hope in general, I like to talk about the word. And when we all think of hope, we all have a general idea of what it is. And we all have a very good idea of what it is. But just so we're all on the same page, I'd like just to talk about the word itself for a few minutes. Now, when you look in the concordance, in the New Testament, hope is used quite frequently. I think I counted the entire Bible, it's used about 140 times, give or take, I'd say 5 or something like that. But in the New Testament, there's only 2 different Greek words that are used that are translated into hope, and actually one's the noun and one's the verb, so for all intentional purposes, it's only one word. In the Old Testament, there's several different words that are translated, Hebrew words that are translated into hope, but they all revolve around the same idea. And the way that Vine's Expository Dictionary puts it is a favorable and confident expectation. So this is something, this hope is something that we're expecting to happen. We're confidently expecting to happen. It's something that's favorable. It's not something that we're dreading or we're not looking forward to. It's a favorable expectation. But for a better definition of hope, I found Romans 8, 24 and 25 to be a lot better, because Paul really outlines really what hope is here. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, if you'd like to turn with me, because I'll be there for a couple minutes, it reads, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." And Paul outlines several aspects of hope here. And the first one, one of the first ones I think he hits on, is that hope has to be placed in something that cannot be seen. You cannot place hope into something that can be seen. You know, if I could see my truck out there, I can't place hope that my truck's out there because there's my truck. I can't really place hope into something that I know is there. Hope has to be invisible. It has to be something that we cannot see for ourselves. And everything that you read for in the Bible is such a thing. Wait, hope is salvation. We cannot see salvation. We can read about it, but salvation is not visible in front of us. We will not see salvation until we receive it. Another aspect of hope that he lines out here is perseverance. And I'm actually going to go back to perseverance later on in this lesson, because perseverance right here is more or less self-explanatory. It's something that we go after at a continual basis and that we try for at all times, is perseverance. And like I said, I'll be hitting that later on. And the third thing that he hits here is the phrase, "We wait eagerly for it." Now, the word "eagerly" there really connotates a very strong desire. Now, when I used the Vine's Expository Dictionary definition, it said favorable. And favorable is just something that we wish to happen and that we would really like to see. And eager is a strong desire for this to happen. What we put hope in our Christian lives cannot be something that we only think of from time to time thinking, that might be kind of nice if that happens. It should be something that we yearn for and something that we pull for. It should be something that is on our mind in a constant and always manner, and it's something that should motivate us. It really is. But along with this eagerness, Paul puts in, right before the word eager, in the New American Standard Version, he has the phrase, "we wait." So there's also a patience balancing that. This can't be something that if we don't see come true, if we don't see it happen, that it will, that we become impatient for it. It must be something that we're patient for. So putting those kind of definitions together, one can say that hope is the patient, perseverant, eager, and confident expectation of something to come about that cannot be seen. And with that groundwork kind of laid down, we'll move on. I want to talk about several things about hope. I want to speak about how hope is our anchor, how hope is a foundation for our faith, and how hope is a foundation for comfort, and how hope is a motivator. And first of all, we'll do hope as an anchor. And if you'd like to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, where the reading was, and I'll actually only be using the latter couple verses in that chapter of Hebrews chapter 6. So in verses 19 and 20, and I'm actually going to read these again, so it's fresh in our mind. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So here we have a hope, a sure and steadfast hope, one that enters within the veil. And if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, it tells us that what the veil is. It tells us that the veil is the flesh of Christ. I believe that is His flesh, Jesus' flesh. So this hope that we have is embedded in Jesus Himself. Our hope is this salvation that we have. It's sure and it's steadfast. It's an anchor that will not move for anything. I believe that's number 495 in the red. We have an anchor, talks about this hope. And I read it just before I walked up here. And it's very beautiful. It talks about our sure and steadfast hope and how strong our hope is. And this is really what is very strong for us, is hope. It can hold us through many storms. And it's a strong foundation for several things, one of which is a foundation for faith. And Hebrews 11:1, I'm sure about all of us can quote it here, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the writer of Hebrews used hope in his definition for faith. He used this hope in the definition for his faith. And the reason for this is how can you put faith into something that you do not hope for? I don't understand how one individual can do that. If you're not eagerly hoping for something to happen, why would one put faith into that or put faith effort into that thought? Because we don't have faith that things are happening. The things that we have faith into are God's promises. We have faith that God's promises are going to happen, and we hope for them to happen. There's a distinct difference between hope and faith, because hope is the yearning for it to happen. It's not necessarily the belief that it will happen, but the yearning for it to happen. Faith is the belief and the strong conviction that it will happen. And you can kind of see this outlined in Romans chapter 4. I see it kind of clear, and hopefully I'll be able to explain it the way in which I've seen it. I'm not usually very good at explaining things like this, but I'll give it my best effort. But in Romans chapter 4, we have Abraham here. Paul's talking about Abraham. And he's outlining Abraham's faith. And in verse 11, it talks about how he received the sign of circumcision, so his people will be cut off, and he receives the promise. So we go through the fourth chapter, and we get to verse 18. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21 of Romans chapter 4. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which he had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured of what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So here we have Abraham, growing old and weary as Sarah was, and wondering when this promise of God is going to happen and how this is going to happen, because he sees himself old and his body old, and Sarah's womb is said is dead in verse 19. But still in verse 18 it says he hopes again, in hope against hope he believes. So in this hope against any kind of thing that's going against him in this, and believing that Sarah could actually rear a child, he still hopes against this. And in his hope he believed. His hope that God's promise would come true to us, come true to him, was a driving factor for his faith that God could do it. He grounded his faith in this hope that God's promise would come true. And our Christian life is very much the same. We've been given this promise by God for salvation. And we have to look forward to this hope of salvation. So, but our promise is very much the same as Abraham. God has made a promise to us that as we follow these things, that if we are faithful, if we do the things that are in the Bible that God has outlined for us, that we have this hope of salvation. And in this hope of salvation, we have to have the faith that God will come through and supply us, that God is there for us. Another thing that hope grounds a good foundation for is comfort. In times of hardship, in times of pain, hope is always a good comfort for anybody, not even just a Christian, but for anybody. When anybody who has a family member that's ill, and a doctor will say, well, it's not looking so good, but there's a small chance that the person might pull through. People grasp that hope. They sit there and they think, well, there's that small chance, there's that hope, and it comforts them, and it's with them. And you can really see the comforting power of hope in times of death. When an individual dies or a close family member, and I've never actually, I've lived 22 years of my life and never lost a close individual to me, so this is all going off of what I've seen. But people will be comforted by the fact that they'll sit here, they'll say, you know, he or she, you know, they're in a better place now. You know, they've gone to the Lord, and they're comforted by that fact. And even though they're not for sure for this, because we don't know what's in men's hearts, we don't know how God is going to judge any individual that passes away, there's a comfort in thinking that, well, they're with the Lord now. They lived a good life. But on the flip side to that, I've seen many individuals, and there's individuals that I know in my life that aren't in the Lord. And it frightens me even more so to maybe see them pass away. Because I know I will not have that comfort. I will not be able to tell myself, well, they're with the Lord now. They're in a better place. And that can really show the comforting power of hope. Because with that hope, you can be comforted through that. And you can know that there's a chance that individual is better off. But without that hope, I imagine it's quite more tragic. Quite more tragic. And this comfort that we feel does not even need to be just in these very tragic instances. It can be all through our lives. This hope that we have can get us through anything. It's an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Another factor of hope is that hope is a motivator. Hope is a motivator in Christian lives. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, another passage we're all familiar with, and you look in the 13th verse, it talks about abiding in faith, hope, and love. And all three of these things are all three aspects of motivation. Having faith, hope, and love is not really a byproduct of living a Christian life. Living a Christian life is a byproduct of having these things, faith, hope, and love. We're motivated by these things. Faith motivates us because we believe that God exists and that His promise will come true. We have faith in that. Love motivates us because we read the Bible and we see what the Lord has done for us and the things that He has never turned back on the people and always give them second and third and 150th chances. And that He gave His own Son to die for us. And we see that kind of love that He's showered down upon us, and all we want to do is love in return. And that motivates us to do these things. There's a verse that says that if you love God, you will keep His commandments. And that's true because love is a motivating factor. Hope motivates us as well. Hope motivates us because we read in the Bible that if we follow His word, we have the hope of eternal salvation. We see that, and it motivates us to do good and to be righteous. And you can see that, and this is where I want to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Which reads, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Oh, excuse me, I started at 14. Back to verse 13, excuse me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here we have Paul. Paul uses this as a motivator. He sees that goal ahead. He knows that it's there. He knows that salvation is there, and so he reaches for it. And it motivates him to stay on the right path and to do good works and to be with the Lord. And we have to do this as well. And this is a very difficult thing for us to keep focused on and to keep motivated on. For, you know, many people have talked about instant gratification. That's very true here. And we can see that not only in the big picture of salvation, but just little things in our life. I know at my work, and most of you probably won't have any idea what I'm talking about, but we have what we call a KIP program. And what that is, that's a bonus payout that we get every 6 months. And it's based upon however many hours we work, divided by something, production, some engineer put together. They've tried to explain to us like four times, and nobody knows what in the world's going on. But anyways, nobody ever thinks about when they're working, well, we better work harder right now for the next 5 minutes because our KIPP's not going to be going, we'll get a big, good paycheck. I mean, nobody thinks about that. Nobody thinks about that at all because it's just, you know, 6 months away. You don't even think about that. And that's what happens to us in our Christian lives as well. We don't think about this salvation. We don't remember it. But it's so important that we do. And this is why I believe that Paul talked about the perseverance back in Romans 8:25, because it's so important to keep this on our mind and to keep fixed on this hope. And when you read 1 John chapter 3, if you turn with me there real quick, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, John speaks of being fixed this hope. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is... And I'm in chapter 1. I'm having a strong difficulty with finding the right scriptures this evening. I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going on up here. All right. Well, now that I made a fool of myself, we'll try this again. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Now that just seemed a lot better as I was reading that one. The other one just, well, this ain't quite right. So anyways, we have here in the first couple of verses Him talking about being children of God. And in verse 2 it talks about being like Him. And when He comes, we'll be transfixed like Him. And in verse 3, He talks about this hope. And everyone who has this hope of being like Christ when we are saved in our salvation is fixed on this hope. And this hope is a purifying factor for us. And this hope is a purifying factor because, like I said already, it's a motivator. It's something that motivates us to do these good things because we see that we have this hope of salvation and we yearn for it and we're eager for it and we want to go after it. So we are motivated to do righteous works and to do these things so we may be able to receive the prize that God has promised us. And it's easy, when you think about, you know, our options of eternal life, it's, and you really dwell on it, it's really easy to see how this can be motivating. You think of your options, you know, either I can go to heaven or the glorious hell. It's just, the motivation should be right then and there. That's why this hope is so important, because if you really dwell on that and think about that, you're going to be motivated to be a righteous individual. And we keep this in mind by reading Scripture in Romans 15:4. It tells us that Scripture is the source of our hope. Romans 15:4 reads, all right, I got the right verse this time. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. And so through the perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures we might have our hope. And through this, I'm all about having the same verses to read every day. I always like to have, you know, the same kind of verses that I would like to look at every day. And in this matter, you know, Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14 it would make sense to me to read those kind of things every day to keep that goal fixed, to keep that hope motivated. And that's the kind of stuff we need to do. We need to keep fixed on this hope to motivate ourselves to be a righteous individual. Our Christian walk is greatly affected by our hope, as I hope I've shown. Our Christian walk is our anchor that is set in the Lord and that is sure and steadfast. Our Christian walk is a foundation for our faith. Our hope brings us comfort in difficult times. It is a motivator and a means in which to purify ourselves. As Christians, we have to be fixed on this hope. For this hope is a very strong tool for us. And it's something that will get us through many difficult times. And it'll help us to continue to be a righteous individual. But to receive this hope, though, to really have this hope, one must be born and must confess the name of the Lord. And they must come to Jesus. Without doing that, we have no hope here. We do not have any hope. Wade said this morning, if you haven't come to the Lord, your life is futile. And if you haven't, it's very true, because you have no hope for eternal life. You have no hope for eternal salvation if you have not accepted the Lord. And the beautiful thing about hope is Romans 4:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. There are a few things in the life that never disappoint. Few things. I'm not sure if I can really think of anything that's good in life that will never disappoint. But this is one of those things. And why not be a part of that thing? Why not be a part of that hope that will never disappoint? If you're here today and you want to accept that and to be and to have that hope and to live with that hope and to have that hope as an anchor, a motivator, a foundation for your faith, to be there for you in difficult times, or if there's anything else that the church can do for you, please come as we stand and sing the number that Drew has announced.